Please get out. Get out of this property. Immediately get out. Okay. Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property. Out. Out. Do not come back without a warrant. You understand that? You're not welcome here. Nazis are not welcome here. Gestapo is not welcome here.
Unbelievable. What is wrong with those sick psychopaths?
Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. I do appreciate it. Don't forget to support us by going to thefatherstay.tv/donate and also click on the link there in the description. Go to locals.com. And thank you all in advance. I do appreciate it. I have with me Pastor Artur Pawlowski. He is a Polish Canadian street preacher, pastor, and political activist. Artur, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, Jesse, for having me on your show.
So you sound like a busy man.
Very busy, very busy, especially right now before the election. It's a very crucial time. I think most of the people, and I'll put it this way, most of the Christians do not understand how crucial this season is.
So you're from Canada. You live in Canada now, right?
Yes, I emigrated. I escaped on a boat from behind the Iron Curtain, from Poland to Turkey, from Turkey to Greece, and then from Greece to Canada. I am a Canadian citizen, and God sends me to America to keep warning American people about communism, socialism, and reminding American people about their own history, that we need God. With God, we have already won. The enemy just doesn't know it yet. Without God, we have already lost.
Really? And so you were born and raised in Poland that was communist society, socialist society?
Yes, communist socialism. I was born behind the Iron Curtain.
That's amazing.
In a city that had a concentration camp. And also we as kids, we were playing in the bunkers of the SS. So Poland is a very unique country because we have been attacked and pillaged and raped so many times through centuries. So I witnessed communism. I tasted the evil of socialism. And I also saw the remedy when people came together under the Solidarity Movement in the 80s. So I saw all of that with my own eyes.
And so what does it look like? What is it like to be born into that society? What's that like?
Oh, it's hell. You know, when people ask me how it was, it's hell. It's literally hell. Everything is controlled. The government tells you what you can buy, how much you can buy. So imagine you go to your gas station and the government is telling you can only have 20 or 30 liters of gasoline a month. That's all. You can have the money, but if you don't have the government approval, you cannot buy it. Imagine, Jesse, a place where the government is telling you how much sausage you can have every month, or how much beef, or how much sugar. Imagine government that is telling you that everything from behind the from the other side of the Iron Curtain is evil. Therefore, your TV blows up every few months and you get fire in the house. That was my experience growing up. Our TV was Russian TV because that was the only one that we could get, and it was blowing up all the time, causing fire in the house. Imagine a childhood where and when I share my story, Jesse, people, especially in the West, don't get it. They give me those big eyes. But imagine not seeing a chocolate for a year, or never seeing a banana, or orange. And for the first time, when you get it, you don't really know what to do with it. Imagine once a year I received the chocolate, and if by the miracle of God that chocolate had peanuts in it, I would break those little squares, I would lick the chocolate around the peanut, and I would save the peanut for the next day, because I knew that this chocolate will have to last me for a month or more. The next one I will see a year from now. So I can talk about communism and socialism day and night, the horrors, the totalitarian regime, the show trials, the propaganda nonstop. You were bombarded by propaganda. But you see, we are already living in a propaganda state. We are already indoctrinated. We are already attacked, especially our children are not being educated anymore, Jesse. They're being indoctrinated. And believe me, I grew up in a system like this.
So let me ask this, and I do want to get to that, but when you were born in that society, it was already like that when you were born, yes, right? And so yes, did it seem normal, abnormal, since you were born into it, did it seem abnormal?
No, you cannot get used to hardship. There's no such a thing as, okay, let's get used to, you know, pain and hardship. No,
but I grew up child, in a ghetto. As a child, you don't know the difference, right?
Well, you do, because God has given us this desire inside of us of freedom, the desire of, I want to work hard and achieve something beautiful. Under communism and socialism, or any isms, if you will, you're not allowed to do that. It's some people that control you. There are some people that are telling you what you can and cannot do. So deep inside, every man knows this is wrong, and you right, try to fight it. But how you fight it? Well, you can't. Because you need a revolution, and that's exactly what I saw in the 80s.
How did the government communicate with everybody over there?
Well, propaganda, so nonstop.
I mean, was it on TV or radio, or they stopped by the house? How did they
yes,
communicate?
Radio, TV, and newspapers, of course. If you were caught, Jesse, listening to a wrong radio station, that was torture and 5 years of imprisonment. If you were caught with the wrong pamphlet, not approved by the Communist Party, that was a 1 year mandatory prison after, of course, you were tortured. So everything was controlled and coming from the propaganda regime, from the Communist Party. 50,000 communists were ruling over 36 million Polish people.
That's amazing. And so how did you get out and escape to Canada?
Well, my father escaped first, and then the government denied us visas 3 times. So what my parents did, and I'm very grateful to my parents for their sacrifice, they sold everything they worked for, literally everything, furniture, TV, you name it, what they had, to buy tickets for me, my younger brother David, to escape on a boat. So we purchased those expensive tickets. We went to Bulgaria, Turkey, and from Turkey to Athens, Piraeus, and then we jumped the fence and we escaped and we joined our father in Greece. We spent 5 years. We had to go through medical paperwork, you know, legal emigration process, and then eventually in 1995, we were allowed to emigrate to Canada.
That's amazing, man. And so one last thing I think about that, Poland, how did they manage to brainwash everybody in that country? How did they manage to brainwash everyone?
No. I think you don't understand. The indoctrination was there. The brainwashing, most of the people were not buying it.
But oh, okay.
Because the totalitarian regime was so strong, people were murdered. Clergy were arrested and tortured and murdered. People were tortured and arrested for disagreeing simply with the government. So most of the people just were forced to be under the boots of the Soviets, if you will. But they were fighting. They were teaching us. I will never forget my teachers, my history teacher. I will be grateful to her for the rest of my life. She would say, and she was an old woman, so she didn't care. She said, children, I have to tell you this and this and this, because that's what the propaganda is telling me to say to you. But here is the truth. So half of the lesson, she would be giving us what the government required. The other half was the truth. So
that's okay. What
we knew. We knew what's going on. We knew. When I was growing up, Jesse, we were told Dieduszka Stalin, which means Grandpa Stalin. We were told that he was the greatest man ever lived. And of course, if you know history, when we learn history, he was the biggest bloody murderer of all times.
Amazing. What made people want to control other people like that?
Sin. I mean, that's a fallen nature. I love your the name of your show, because that's truly, it's a summarization, if you will, of what we are dealing with. Satan wanted to have power when the creation was worshiping God. He was standing there behind, so he took it for himself, and he says, well, I can be like God, and the rest is history, right? So fallen nature wants to control other people. So you see, Jesus sets the captives free. He wants you to be free. Yeah. He came, he lived, he died, he taught us, he sacrificed himself, he rose from the grave, he's sitting on the right hand of God Almighty, so you can be free. Man, fallen man, not a godly man, not the man that follows Christ and God, wants to enslave, control, manipulate other people for their personal gain, for their personal desires, ambitions, careers, you name it.
Yeah. And so you moved to Canada, and now Canada is a socialist communist state now, right? Country now, oh, right?
100%, Jesse. What's happening in Canada is absolutely insane. I have been arrested already so many times for simply feeding the poor, preaching the gospel. I was arrested for illegal distribution of printed material. Imagine, it's just like a repetition of history. When I give away Bibles and gospel tracts, the government said that's illegal. They told me that the name of Jesus is offensive, therefore I cannot preach in the name of Jesus. I mean, we are truly living behind the iron curtain in China there right now. But if you know my story, if you have Googled me up, you know I have... I never had, and I will never submit myself into the wishes of a totalitarian regime. I have resisted them. I am resisting them. 350 citations so far, over 120 court cases, and many, many arrests.
That's amazing. So, like, what is it like coming from a socialist environment, communist environment, ending up in another communist environment? Is that shocking for you?
No. Let's go back a little bit. When we arrived here, it was still relatively okay. The government was preparing, because what we witnessed in the past 4 years, they were working on this for decades. But when we arrived in 1995, it was still good. So what I did what I always wanted to do, Jesse, and I think every man, a normal man, a man after God's heart, wants to do, which is make a good living,
right.
Provide for a wife, build a house, and give something beautiful to the next generation. Something that I never had, pass it on to the children. And that's what I did. I worked very hard every day. And then shocker, when I started to work with the poor, the Canadian government started to implement all those absolute insane restrictions on our liberties. And of course, all of them, Jesse, are against the Constitution, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which, by the way, the preamble to the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which is the highest law, states, whereas Canada acknowledges the supremacy of God and the rule of law. Can you believe it? And all of that has been kicked out by woke, rogue psychopaths.
So are you surprised to see the Canadian people allowing this to happen in Canada and not really, really doing anything about it?
Well, I was, but I now are, living in that country for so long and traveling in the U.S. and in the West, I understand how they did it. They did it through the school system. They did it through indoctrination. They manipulated people into telling them that the government, no matter what the government says, and doesn't matter what those so-called servants of the people are doing or saying, they are right and you are wrong, that they actually mean well. Of course, if you know exactly what they're doing, you know that they're killing us by the thousand bylaws and by taxation. I remember studying history. I teach history as well. During the time of kings, if you raised your taxes over 10%, you had a revolt because people said, you're not God. Only God takes 10%. Now Canadians are paying 55% in taxes, Jesse.
Amazing.
It's insanity. It's insanity. Yeah.
That's amazing, man. Are you? I know what you've gone through already, and been arrested, and I saw you throw the police out of your church one day. Like, get out of here! Get out of here! Leave now! Leave! Go! You've gone to jail. Are you having an impact? Is it working? Are you, is it changing for the good as a result of what you've done and what you're going through? Is it getting better or worse?
First of all, we have to understand that the truth, this whole thing from the very beginning to the very end, is always about the same thing. It's about the truth. So what they wanted us to do by all those mandates and restrictions, they wanted to shut down or eliminate what God deems powerful. So they didn't allow us to congregate, while the Bible says, do not forsake the gatherings of the saints. They wanted to restrict, and they said it's illegal to sing. God lives in the worship of his people. They told us we are not allowed to have Lord's Supper. We know that Jesus said, every time you gather, remember me, remember the suffering. So simply, I read the Bible, and I started to implement in my life and in the life of the church and my friends the Bible, and the government got scared. So because of it, because of the Get Out video that was watched over a billion times, Jesse, this was the number one video on earth during that past Passover weekend. I, a little guy, a little Polish immigrant with a broken English, Jesse, God has given me an opportunity to preach to hundreds of millions of people through all this period of time. I was on thousands of shows. I have done thousands of sermons. I was traveling around on a speaking tour. I wrote a book in prison, which is right now the number one, you know, in a pre-order, a new coming book on under the religious, you know, right, statistics. And so because of this, because of the obedience to the word of God, because you got to remember, you have two choices. You can obey a rogue woke government that goes against the word of God, against the wishes of God, or you can submit yourself to God and follow his instructions. And sometimes the lawmakers or the law enforcers, if you will, or the politicians will go against God, and you have a choice. For example, when I'm being criticized from, you know, Romans 13, that we have to obey all the authorities are from God, we have to obey everyone in uniform. No, that's not true. The question is, would you obey Adolf Hitler? Would you obey his Nazi party? Well, they told you legally, you got to remember, Adolf Hitler was democratically elected as the Chancellor of Germany in 1933. So the question is, would you obey Adolf Hitler and would you murder Jewish people? Because the government says so, right? It's absurd. Of course not. And the same way, we have to look at what they're doing to us. If the law of man goes against the law of God, you must oppose it. You don't have a choice if you're real, a man of God. If you're fake, if you're just a hired gun, if being a pastor or a clergy or a Christian is just a job for you, of course, no one wants to die for his job. But if this is your life, if this is your, if Jesus is your life, if God is your life, then there is no question. So did I have an impact? Jesse, I led, I don't know how many people to the Lord to this day, 3 years later after that video. 3 years. Most people on earth forgot about this Get Out video. To this day, I got emails and people say to me, because of what you did, I am attending a church. Because of what you did, I'm a Christian right now. And I get this on a regular basis. I get it from atheists, or former atheists, soldiers, medical profession, police officers, you name it. Muslims, Buddhists from around the world, people still remember, and they are sending me messages, and they said, because we watch you being arrested so many times, because we watch you, how you were willing to suffer and die if needs be for that, Jesus, it touched us hard, because if this Polish immigrant with a broken English can have such a faith, that God must be real, and they are believers.
Amazing. And so you were able to lead people to God. But your country, Canada, is still becoming a communist society, right? Even though people are turning to God, it's still becoming a communist society.
It is communist right now. It is socialism. However, I don't know if you were paying attention to the truck convoy, which I was part of. Yeah. I was actually imprisoned for giving a sermon to the truckers and farmers during that time. I was charged with terrorism and I was convicted with terrorism for a sermon. During my sermon, three times I said to the Canadian people, peacefully, no guns and swords. Do it the solidarity style, which is non-compliance, civil disobedience, just refuse to cooperate and it's over for them. I said to the Canadian people, there is more of us than of them. If we unite, if we come together, and Jesse, this is what I saw during the truck convoy. I saw every background, young, old, families. They were bringing their cats and dogs, horses, feeding each other, loving with each other, crying with each other, hugging each other, singing with each other, having sermons. It was incredible. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen on the Canadian soil. And over 2 million Canadians took part of the Freedom Convoy, the truck convoy. So we are having impact. We already removed some of the key villains, if you will. We removed a premier that did this to us. Premier is like your governor. We removed a minister of, so-called minister of justice, minister of health, a chief health officer like your Pinocchio, I call him, Fauci, the pathological liar. We removed those people from power. So we're working. People are being awakened. The more the totalitarian regime is squeezing us, the more people are breaking out.
Amazing. So I want to ask, and then I want to move on here. So now you're in America, you're doing a tour around America and talking about socialism and all that. What is the purpose of doing that in America?
Well, it's your talks huge, in America. It's huge because here is what God said to me when I was in prison still. He said to me, go to America and share your story and warn them. Because if Canada falls, they are next. Americans are next. So I boarded a plane with my son Nathaniel during the biggest lockdowns. No one was allowed to leave the country, but God made a way. And when I was in the plane, Jesse, he spoke to me. I asked him, what do you want me to say to the American people? And here is what he said to me. It was incredible. He said, tell this great American eagle that it's time for this eagle to rise up once again and start flapping its wings. I was shocked by what I heard. He calls you great American eagle. He says, you've done it before. It's time for Americans to do it again, come to the rescue, and you have to move. You cannot just sit on the fence, enjoy the view. You need it. You must do something. Everyone has to do something. Everyone has something that can contribute. So I say, answering your question, I'll say this. If America, if United States of America goes down, so goes the free world. And we're going to have a civil war or some kind of a bloody uprising, which I never want to see.
Right. Me either. So we have election coming up right now. Are you supporting Trump or that lady, Camilla?
Oh, come on. Vote for Harris's vote for Obama, which is not, of course, American. Obama Hussein Barack Obama was born in Kenya. I work in Kenya in a city called Kisumu. I built orphanages in that city and medical clinic and churches. And he is viewed over there as a hero of Kenya because he fooled Americans. He's a Muslim. He's a wicked, evil devil himself. Then you've got, if you vote for this witch, I call her witch or a whore because that's how she went into power, by prostitution. So if you vote for her, you vote for Clintons, which are messed up. If you vote for her, you vote for globalists. If you vote for her, you vote for the murder of the innocent children. If you vote for her, you vote for Schwab and, you know, all those globalist devils. So Donald Trump is not a perfect man. But in comparison, you have to choose one. Donald Trump loves America. Listen. Whoever is listening to me, Donald Trump loves America, loves with his whole heart. Why? Because America has given him this great wealth and this power and you know, those amazing things. And he wants to share those things with others. He loves American people and he loves America. Donald Trump is a businessman. So his mind is not like your typical politician. He is a businessman that says, go and let's do it. He's a doer. He's not just a talker. He's a doer. Most politicians are con artists, they're pathological liars. They are going to tell you, you know, I'm going to give you a moon, just vote for me. And then, of course, the election comes and goes, and they never, almost never give you what they have promised. So we need to build a wall. Let me remind something to your viewers, Jesse. When your president, which in my opinion, one of the best presidents ever, Ronald Reagan, came to the Berlin Wall in 1987, I want you, Jesse, to know that there was a kid on the other side of that wall. That was me. I was on the other side of the Berlin Wall when Ronald Reagan was delivering his famous speech, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. You see, at that time, we needed to take down the wall. We needed to break the wall. This time, my friends, I hope you're listening. We need a president that will build a wall, that will protect us, wall against those evil people that are attacking us. Because don't kid yourself. You don't have a problem with immigration. This is not an immigration. This is an invasion. You are being invaded.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I don't know if Kamala Harris slept her way to that. You said she prostituted her way. We don't know that for sure, right?
Oh, we do. We actually do. You know, that's how she went into the political realm by
don't
sleeping
you have proof
with men.
Of that?
Well, I was not the bed. Okay. I mean, I've heard stories. Put it this way. So let's say allegedly.
Yeah. I don't have proof of that. So what's wrong with the blacks?
Well, what's wrong with the whites? What's wrong with people? We are fallen people. Jesse, I don't see colors.
I know, you don't see. There's some black people in this country. You're going to see them.
They don't have
any blacks in Canada, right?
Of course we do.
Oh, I thought you don't see color.
We have people from all over the world.
Oh.
We have people from different cultures. I personally, Arthur Pulaski, I don't see color. I believe in one race.
But Obama
there's only
went,
one race.
Obama
God's
went
race.
The other day and said to the blacks that you should support Kamala Harris because she's she's a woman, she's black, and you know how black women went through stuff and they did this, they fed you, they took care of you. And
yeah, but that's,
that's
rubbish.
Should vote for them because they know how black women are, something like that. What's wrong with the blacks that Obama can say that to them and they were not offended? They didn't appear to be offended by it.
Well, because they see this through different glasses, I guess. Depends what kind of glasses you're going to put on. If you're looking for an offense, you will find it. If you look for someone to blame because you're lazy or because you don't want to pay the price, in the same way, I can blame the Nazis. I can blame the Russians, but I don't. I went to work and I achieved something and I was quite successful in the business. So I went to work. I didn't look back. Oh, poor me. I grew up in ghetto. I grew up in hell under the boots of the Soviets. No, no, no. That's history. Now what I'm doing, what I'm going to do with my life today. So I think if you're looking at the culture, different cultures, they have a problem with understanding this. Instead of stop blaming others for your own mistakes. Stop blaming others for your own failures. Go to work and achieve something beautiful. Native Americans are doing the same stupid thing. Yeah. They're looking at white people. So, I had people coming to me and they said, you stole my land. Oh, I did not steal anything from you. I worked very hard for many years and I bought my property. Yeah. I paid and I paid huge taxes for it. You can do the same thing. Actually, you're more privileged than I am because they give them free education. They give them monthly money, checks, and, they have free university. They're privileged. They're privileged people. I'm not privileged. Everything I have, I had to work very, very, very hard for. And I had to pay with my own money. Government is not giving. Jesse, I'm feeding thousands of people every single week. The government is giving me, how much? Zero. I do not receive even one taxpayer's dollar to feed thousands of people on the streets of Calgary.
Let me ask this. I wanted to ask it out. Are you able to travel in and out of Canada without any problems? Is it hard to get in and out for you?
No, it used to be when I was arrested by every force in the land. I was arrested by RCMP, RCMP is like your FBI detectives, Calgary police uniform, undercover. I was arrested by anti-terrorist special SWAT team. They blocked the whole neighborhood. It was truly a takedown of El Chapo of Calgary, Al Capone of Canada, Art Belowski. So I spent time in prison, solitary confinement, metal cages. Jesse, they kept me in metal cages, no bigger than me sitting. I couldn't stretch. I was suffocating, passing out in and out. They Wow. kept me on concrete cells. They tortured me. They traveled, they took me from one place to another upside down. I'll have to do another show with you just to tell you what the Canadian government did to me. But when I was finally released, I was kidnapped by sheriffs. They tried to burn my house down with my children sleeping. They tried to burn our churches down. They managed to burn down our children's bus. They vandalized our church for 3 months every week. They stole our equipment, speakers, cameras, tens of thousands of dollars damages. I had Antifa in my house. They unscrewed tire of my pickup truck. They had Wow. knives and guns. I went through assassination attempts multiple times. When I was imprisoned, five different inmates already testified to our lawyers that the guards were giving them incentives to murder me in prison. So eventually, when I was released, so charged with terrorism, I was charged over 40 times during this crazy period, worth millions upon millions of dollars in fines. When I was finally released, I was placed on house arrest. So I spent a year and a half, Jesse, for giving a message of hope. I want the people to understand my whole crime, over 350 tickets overall, it's all about me doing my job as a pastor, preaching, giving hope, telling people the truth, feeding the poor, organizing events. I was charged, Jesse, criminally for inciting people to come to church. Can you believe it? Inciting people. I'm a pastor. That's what I do for a living. I incite people to come to church. Right. I was charged criminally for officiating an illegal gathering, participating in illegal gathering. So finally, when I was released, I couldn't travel. But now, since I was convicted, like your rightful president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, I believe he won that election 100%. He is a convicted felon as well. And Art Belowski is convicted felon as well. And by the miracle of God, he keeps sending me to your beautiful country. And he is telling me, keep going. I'll open the door for you and keep sharing.
Would you ever live in America?
Pardon me?
Will you ever live here in America?
No, I was offered to move to America. I was offered all kinds of different things. I was offered to pastor a big church, and God said no. He called me to Canada, and he said, you will be in and out. You will be in and out. You will live in Canada. That's where my children are. I got three children. That's where my house is. That's where my wife is, the church, and the mission. But he sends me every month. I'm in your country. So I by heart, I am an American. Either right you on. Like it or not, I have adopted myself.
Right on. And so your wife, how does she handle all of this? I mean, how did she handle what you've gone through already? What was her reaction when you were locked up and all the stuff you've gone through?
I listened to one of her interviews, and I was fascinated by what she was saying because I didn't look at this from that perspective. But she says, Jesse, you were on the inside, imprisoned and tortured, but we were also imprisoned and tortured on the outside. Yeah. So what my wife did with my children, with my church, with my family, my brother David was arrested with me, Jesse, 12 times. My own brother, my younger baby brother, David, was arrested for what we do with me 12 times. My oldest son, Nathaniel, was already arrested 5 times. His crime was when I was on the house arrest, I received an invitation to testify before the European Parliament about my treatment. I couldn't go. Canadian government said, no, you're not allowed to leave the country. So my wife and my son went over there and he testified. He did such an amazing job that upon arrival, he was immediately arrested by the Canadian authorities. And that already happened 5 times.
Whoa.
So when I was on the inside, they organized the longest ongoing protest in the history of prison in Canada. For every day I was locked on the inside, they had the church service on the outside. So my family is amazing. They're amazing people. They're courageous people. We are doing this together. We are in it together. It's not like I go off to war and my wife, you know, doesn't care, or she doesn't suffer, right, or she doesn't pay the price. We as a family, we are doing this together. So sometimes when I'm traveling, she has to stay behind. She is in charge of cooking for the poor and organizing the food ministry and, you know, taking care of the kids and the house. I mean, we can't all go. Right. Someone has to stay behind. And my wife has decided to do that role. And most of the time she stays behind, but she's coming and joining me on Thursday for just a few days here in my last leg of the tour. I was able to share in the Republican Party in Manhattan, New York, multiple events. I was in Washington State just yesterday, multiple meetings, and now I am in Virginia. And Thursday I will be in North Carolina. I'll spend a few days over there. And on Monday, I was invited by your president, Donald J. Trump, to pray for him. So if you can pray for me that I can be able to pray for the president with the right words and with the power from above, that would be great.
Right on. And so should Christians be involved in politics? There are a lot 100%. Of Christians who believe that Christians should not be involved in politics. What do you say to that?
Well, start reading the Bible, or say that to Joseph, or tell that we call Jesus the king. If there is king, there is a kingdom. Kingdom has an army. Or tell that to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were the ministers. Or tell that to Daniel. He was the prime minister. Tell that to Joseph. He was also prime minister. Say that to Mordecai or Esther. She was the queen. I mean, the whole Bible from the very beginning to the end, Jesus said, have dominion. He didn't say have dominion except this field and this field and that field and that field. No, 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 no. We are to go and take over and then occupy until he comes.
Right on. Will you ever run for president or any political office?
Yes, I will. I actually have made up my mind. I am building a party, Jesse. I have created a party that is called Solidarity Movement of Alberta. And I've decided that I will, if it's God's will, and if he will give me the people and the favor, I will run and do the cleanup from inside out. And I'm telling you, the cleanup, according to Arthur Pulaski, is going to be flipping the tables on the whole system and redoing it, or reformation, if you will, nice, of the system.
So have you met Justin Trudeau? That's his name? The president of Canada. Have you ever met him in person?
Yes, but I refuse to shake his hand. It was just, he's such a vile, wicked man.
Yeah.
I don't want to have anything to do with those people. They're psychopaths.
Yeah.
If I was your king, if I was the king of North America, those people would be charged with treason.
Amazing. Let me ask about God and Jesus. Some people believe that Jesus is God, and some people believe he is the Son of God. Do you believe Jesus is God or the Son of God?
Well, Jesus says, who has the power to forgive sins? Only God has the power to forgive sins, and Jesus did forgive sins. So I do believe that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I do believe that Jesus Christ is also God, because he says to the people, you have seen, when you see me, you have seen God. They are in partnership together, and they are God. So that's what I believe.
So was he saying that I am the Son and the Father with me? He's working through me. And so even when he forgave sin, it wasn't him that forgave the sin, but it was God in him who gave him permission to forgive sin, right? As we all should forgive.
No. He actually almost wanted to murder him, if you remember the story, because he himself forgave the sins, and that's why they were so upset with him. Who do you think you are? Only God can forgive sins. So here is the problem that I see people have theologically. They don't understand that Jesus gave up his, you know, his being God. He became fully man, and he had to do that because otherwise he would never be able to crucify, you know, kill, murder Jesus as a lamb. So he walks as a lion for 3.5 years, and then just a few hours before, he turns himself into a lamb so he can become that sacrificial offering, only the one without sin. And we know biblically that only God is without sin, can be that sacrificial offering. Therefore, my belief, and I know there are all kinds of different beliefs, and that's fine, but I interpret the Bible in a way that I believe that he is God.
Jesus said that greater work, you know, that they were telling him how wonderful he was. You know, you're doing all this work, you're amazing, blah, blah, blah. And Jesus said, well, no, it's not me, it's my Father in me. And my Father sent me, my Father this, my Father that. And he said yes. That don't worship me because it's not me, it's my Father. And greater works shall you do than what I've done. And so if Jesus was God, why would he tell the people greater works that you will do than what I even done because of the Father?
Yeah, because of the power. The power is the same. It's the Holy Spirit. When God, when Jesus goes and takes his rightful place, he sends the Holy Spirit, the one that enables people to do even greater things than Jesus was doing. You got to understand that Jesus gives up his being God when he came and dwelt among us, and that's why he was fully man. It had to be that way, because otherwise if God would show up. Remember when the angels show up in the Bible, what happens? People freeze. People go to their faces. They look like they're dead. They can't move. They can't function. So God did it this way. I found once an interpretation of this that people can understand a little bit clearly. There was a father with a little boy going in the woods, and they had a dog, and they stumbled on an anthill. And this dog just went nuts and started to dig around and really messed up the whole anthill. And then the kid, the five-year-old boy, started to cry. And the father came to him and says, why are you crying? And he was devastated. He says, this is so tragic. And look what this dog did. And he said, I wish I could become this little ant and tell them it's going to be okay. You will rebuild it. It will be fine. Don't worry. So I think that's what God did. He became an ant. He gave up his divine power. He becomes ant, shows us what we are capable of when God is on our side. And I mean, nothing will be impossible for those that believe. And I've seen it. Even when I was in prison, I had Muslims coming to me to cast out demons out of their cells. I had a young boy, he had a broken leg, and I prayed for him, and the leg, the bones went together, and the doctors couldn't believe it. So God does still miracles as he pleases. He is God, and he does whatever he wants.
Do you have anger?
I am angry at evil. And the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. So we are to be angry. For example, when I see people murdering people, and I've seen, I have anger because this is great evil, and I want to stop it. When I learn about the hundreds of thousands of children being murdered in a mother's womb, I am angry about this sin. But the Bible says, when you are angry, do not sin. So we have to give that all up so the perfect peace can enter our hearts. Jesus says, I'll give you peace, but not like this world gives you. I will give you my peace that surpasses all our understanding.
So you're saying that you do have anger?
I am angry at evil.
So you
yes,
do have anger.
I am.
Where did you get the spirit of anger from?
No, it's not a spirit of anger. It's you're angry at evil that is being done in front of you or around you. I think you're missing the understanding what I'm saying to you. God says in his word, in your anger, do not sin. That means you are to be angry, just like God is angry at evil. For example, Jesus was angry when he flipped the tables. He whipped the people and with his own body prevented people from coming in and going out. He was angry, but it was it's called a righteous anger. It's not a sin. It's a righteous indignation of this is evil, this is wrong. And you have to just also remember that God hates. He hates abortion. He hates murder. He hates when people do different things. And he gets angry also at the people that do those things. That's why you have the wrath of God. And we can talk about Sodom and Gomorrah and other places as well, when God was so angry at the sin that he wiped entire.
Where did you get your anger from?
I think my anger comes from God when I see evil. It's a righteous anger.
So you believe that God gave you anger?
Righteous anger against evil. Yes, I do believe that when you see evil, Jesse, you become angry at the evil that you're seeing. And naturally, if you're a good man, let's assume you're a good man, this will move you with everything you have to stop that evil.
So how do you deal with the fear when the fear wants to overtake you? When you feel that at times, what do you do with the fear when you feel it?
Well, you know, God has blessed me. I do not fear people, but I have sometimes moments where the enemy comes and attacks with such a power that I can physically feel the evil attacking. I will never forget my first arrest. And, you know, we can talk about how brave we are. And, you know, I have been arrested so many times and tortured and all kinds of evil things were done to me. But I will never forget my first arrest when the police came, 7 officers. I faced a year of imprisonment for publicly reading Bible in Canada in 2006, Jesse. 2006 was my first arrest in Canada. And I look at my legs. I couldn't help it. I look at my legs and they were going like this. It was like, I was afraid. I was afraid what they're going to do to me. I didn't know what is going to happen to me. So the fear naturally comes. However, the Bible says that we are to take ownership, or we are to take power over that feeling, and then perfect peace comes in. So when I was in the metal cages, I had total peace. I was hurting. They were hurting my body.
So when you are alone, because of time, when you're alone, you're in a room by yourself. No one is around. It's quiet. Nobody's around. And the fear comes out of nowhere. You feel this fear. You don't know why you're feeling it. What do you do with that fear? How do you
cast out? You cast out. I mean, there's no question about this. In the name of Jesus, go. Because you see, God has given us peace. It's his peace. And we are to live in a perfect, total peace, no matter what the storm. It's like the eye of the storm. That should be you. But from time to time, the enemy will attack your thoughts. Enemy will attack your feelings, emotions. And you have to subdue those thoughts. Apostle Paul writes about this and kick them out. So that's what I do. Sometimes when those feelings will come, I say, oh, devil, you showed up, out in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, resist the devil. Then that means there will be a little bit of a struggle when you're resisting, you're pushing.
And how do you resist the devil?
Only with the Holy Spirit. I mean, without God, you cannot fight.
But how do you do that?
When those things come, I ask the Holy Spirit to come. I ask God, come to the rescue. Please help me. And remove those thoughts. Remove those things away from me and replace them with your thoughts. Because it's a war. Jesse, we are in a state of war. Yeah. Enemies attacking nonstop. And God is waiting for us. He wants to help us.
And do you have perfect peace?
Yes, I do.
You do have perfect peace. A lot of Christians don't. What should they do to receive perfect peace?
Read the Bible, Jesse. They have to read the Bible because you see, We are in a war. But when you know, Jesse, that you have already won, you show up to the battlefield completely different, with a different mindset. So when I fight from the position of a victor, not the victim. I have already won. The enemy just doesn't know it. You see, I am a lion that is following the lion from the tribe of Judah. And by the way, that's the name of my book that I wrote in prison. And my book, Lions Do Not Bow, Jesse, was confiscated by the Canadian government already 3 times. That's how scared they are about my little book by Polish immigrant, Lions Do Not Bow. You see, we do not bow before the hyenas, Jesse. We don't make pacts with hyenas. We don't negotiate. We don't debate with the hyenas. We eat them for breakfast.
Where is the kingdom of heaven?
Well, the kingdom of heaven is where God is. It can be right now here in our conversation. I think it is. I think you're a good man. I think you want to forward God's kingdom. And when you do, he is among you. He is right here forwarding his kingdom. Because in the end of the day, Jesse, we are his ambassadors. And there goes your politics, right? The people don't even understand that he calls us his ambassadors. We are to represent his kingdom. We are the ambassadors of the Most High God. So wherever we go, wherever we show up with his kingdom. The kingdom is right here.
Let me ask you to do some time here. Were women created to lead or to follow?
Oh, to follow. I mean, the order of things is very clear. God the first, Jesus, then there is men, there is women and children. I mean, that's obvious. That's so, how God created things.
So why are women allowed to be preachers, so-called preachers in churches, in schools and running businesses? Why are women allowed to be put in so-called leadership roles? And would you ever allow a woman to be a preacher at your church?
Well, preaching depends what you mean. Sharing, of course, there are prophetesses in the Bible. You've got Esther that called
no,
the prayer.
No, but would you ever allow her to be a leader, like a preacher or assistant pastor and all that?
No, leaders are to be men. Here is the problem we're facing, Jesse. We are guilty. I'm talking to men. We blew it. We failed. Because if they were godly men, there will be no need for women lead other people into battlefield. Women were not created to lead that kind of a charge. But Deborah is a perfect scenario in the Bible where men failed. Men were just a bunch of cowards around. She's looking. God is clearly raising up a man, but the men are cowardly and they don't want to do it. So eventually he uses a woman. I think
but
he
Deborah
used the woman
still,
to shame us.
Deborah was still, she was still following the order of a man. It wasn't like Deborah just on her own. It was a man telling her what to do. It wasn't, she wasn't on her own.
Yeah. Well, so you don't have to convince me. I mean, the order is very clear. God, Jesus, you've got the men. Men is to be the leader in every aspect of life. Sometimes, even when a man makes a mistake in his house, a woman can say something, but I believe that sometimes God allows the mistakes to happen so God can teach a man, because he wants us to be better. He wants us to do better. Yeah. The argument for the women is, well, if you lead us into a stupidity, we should revolt. No, that's rebellion. That's a rebellion spirit. Yeah. And there are many, many women that have a rebellious spirit out there.
Yeah.
And you can tell. You can tell. This is not leadership. This is just pure rebellion.
Yeah. Do you agree with me that the God above is the God of man and the God below is the God of the woman?
No, Jesse. I've heard you say that on another show. And no, I do believe
that we
all...
Why don't you agree with that?
Because I read the Bible many times and we all have messed things up. So let's just stop here for a second. So who received the order from God? Who was commanded to have dominion over everything? Was Adam. Right. Adam received a clear instructions from God. So when Eve was falling into this fallen state that we are all in it together, but where was Adam? what was Adam doing? Why he was not protecting his wife? Why he allowed Satan to come to his family so close? My job as a man is to be a protector, defender, hunter, provider.
But Adam couldn't, she was at the mall by herself. He wasn't with her. She was gone to pick up some groceries.
That's
Adam didn't have anything to do with the woman giving in to Satan.
No,
he can't blame Adam for that at all.
No, he had everything to do with this because he was not good leader
but
in that
household.
But he
wasn't around.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
But
right?
He can't
men
be everywhere. He had to go to work. He had to go to the market.
Let me ask.
So you disagree that Satan is the God, it's the woman of the God?
I believe that we all have fallen short of the glory of God.
To be clear, I'm black and slow. So just to be clear, you disagree that the God above is the God of man and the God below is the God of the woman?
I disagree, yes.
Oh, okay. And so do you remember when Eve was out shopping one day and Satan approached her and and she said, no, I got to obey my husband. And then she went home and she told Adam, I saw Satan today in the market and he tried to seduce me. I said, no. And then he's like, yeah, stay away from the evil. And so she said, okay, but then she went back again to get some baby food. And Satan said to her, you could be like your husband. Don't listen to him. He listened to his father. Why you listen to a man that listened to his father? And in that moment, she believed Satan. And once she believed Satan, she could no longer believe her husband who believed his father. And so Satan became her God. Because she no longer can believe the son of the father, right? And then at some point, she convinced Adam to follow her. Why are you following your father? You could be your own man. You don't need a daddy. And he listened to her. And the moment he listened to the woman became his God. And so as a result, Adam suffered because he listened to the woman. That's why God said, every time you listen to the woman, you will suffer. And so it's not until Christ came back and brought order back where now the man can overcome the woman by returning to the Father, and the woman can overcome Satan by returning to the Father as well. You don't see that so clearly?
So here is what I see. I see that orders to be the man in a household were given to men. And men blew
it. No, I'm asking you about the fall. That's why evil comes through the woman. It doesn't come through the man.
No,
it comes through the woman because Satan is the woman's God until she repent and return to the Father.
Well, I see it differently than you just see, and that's okay. I see it that they both are as guilty as charged, because the man's responsibility was to be a good leader, and he failed. If he was truly,
but he didn't fail her. He wasn't around.
Just a second. If Adam was a good leader, the woman would know not to touch that stupid thing.
Not true.
Because, what defines a good leader? Disciples, right? Those that follow the leader and leaders. Leading, and obviously Adam failed in his own household because the woman.
Are you saying that it's Adam's fault that the woman listened to Satan?
Well, Adam's fault is that, first of all, he was a lousy teacher. Secondly, he did it too.
Are you saying that it's Adam's fault that the woman listened to the devil?
Both of them.
How is Adam's fault? What about her responsibility? It wasn't Adam's fault. God said, because of what you've done, you're going to suffer in childbirth.
I get it. So let's go through that line of thinking. So Eve sinned. No question about this. You're absolutely right. She fell. That's it.
So
it's
why do
true.
You blame Adam
but
for
then,
that?
But then... Because Adam was supposed to know better. Because as a leader, as the head of the house, why did he submit himself to the wishes of the woman? So in the end of the day, they both fall.
Right. That's why the man is subject to the woman until he repent and return to the Father. And the woman is subject to Satan. Satan is her God until she repent and return to the Father. Because of time, do you agree with me that evil comes through the woman?
Now, evil comes through rebellion. And it can come through the woman, and it can come through the man.
But does it come through the woman and pass on to the man?
Well, it goes to the man when they sin through them. You know, you're talking about the original sin, because sometimes I think that's what you're referring. When you're being born, you're born in this fallen state. And I agree. I agree that when you're born, of course, obviously through a woman, you kind of inherit this fallen state.
Because the evil is in
sin.
Right, the evil is in the woman, so it passed on to the children.
No. So Jesse, this is like saying that the born-again, fired up, lover of Jesus Christ, a woman, a mother that is about to give a birth to a baby, you truly believe that Jesus lives with Satan and they are
sharing a womb.
So you truly believe that a fired up woman filled with the Holy Spirit and God Almighty shares a bedroom with Satan at this moment? Because
I don't know exactly. I don't understand your question, but what I am telling you for sure is that evil comes through the woman because Satan is a woman God until she is born again, and it's passed on to the children, the boys and the girls, and it goes on and on and on until someone repent and start anew. Also, that's why God said that everyone who born of the woman must be born again. They must be born of the Spirit of the Father.
Yeah,
because the nature of the woman is evil, right?
This is like saying that Jesus was born, with Satan.
No, it's not
Jesus.
It's not her, but it's the spirit that of her God, Satan, that lives in her. It's not her spirit, but it's the spirit of Satan that lives in the woman.
Doesn't live anymore when you receive Jesus, because the
right.
Bible says
when you're born again, you overcome it.
Well, there you go. So if the woman that receives Christ as her Lord and Savior becomes a true, I'm talking about only true believers, true followers of Christ, then the children born, they have the original sin. You're absolutely right. However, Satan is not dwelling in her anymore.
I got to put you on the hot seat.
Sure. And, I just want to finish with this just quickly.
Okay.
You think that Mary, a mother of Jesus, when she asked him to change the water into wine, was she commanding him and he obeying her? Was she ruling over her, over him at this moment? Or it was just a partnership of mother and son?
Well, she just asked him to make some wine because she knew that he could make the wine. She wasn't ruling over him. As a matter of fact, Mary didn't even know or understand Jesus' purpose until after he died and rose again. She didn't know why he was on earth. She didn't know the whole purpose of the death thing. So she didn't really know who he was until afterward.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just saying that Jesus got upset. He got angry with her for this first miracle. But anyway, just a side note. Okay, hot seat.
Okay, I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
The hot seat.
What is a man?
Man is a creation of the living God.
Is
created in the image of God.
Is America the best country on this side of heaven?
It was.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
No.
Is the earth flat or round?
Round.
Does a chicken have lips?
No.
Do you believe in climate change?
No.
Is it ever okay to tell a woman she's fat?
Sometimes.
Which is worse, abortion or slavery?
Abortion, without a doubt.
If Trump wins the election, should we keep him in office forever?
No.
Is free health care for everybody a good thing or a bad thing?
Good thing.
What is love?
Love is God.
Did you have fun?
You're awesome, Jesse. I loved it every moment. Thank you so much for having me.
And I appreciate you coming on. It's an honor to meet you. I've seen a lot of your videos protesting, going to jail, so yelling at the police to get out of your church. That was amazing. Tell the folks how to get your books, your website, or whatever you want to put out.
Yes, Jesse, if you can help me out with your viewers, the Lions Do Not Bow is already on Amazon.com. You can pre-order the book. Canadian government is doing everything in their power to stop it. So you can help me to break the algorithm. All the proceedings from the book are going to Feed the Poor and to the mission field. So Lions Do Not Bow, Lions Do Not Bow, Amazon.com. And if you want to support what we're doing, go to streetchurch.ca, streetchurch.ca. We're on the streets 3 times a week. We feed the poor and we preach the gospel. So, Jesse, thank you so much again. You're a great man. I really loved to do this interview with you.
I enjoyed it as well. And thank you for coming on. And thank you for taking on the hot seat as well. And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to like, follow, ring the bell, subscribe. Go to thefallenstate.tv/donate and locals.com. Check out our merch and all those good things. If you have ideas or suggestions for The Fall Estate, contact my producer at thefallestate.tv, all right? Thank you all for tuning in, and thank you again for coming. I absolutely appreciate it.
Thank you.
Amazing.
When man changed, then our family would change, then our community would change. The power is in the man. When man changed, then our family would change, then our community would change. The power is in the man. When God created man in his image, he gave the power and authority to him. Because we've been raised by women, they know not what they do, keeping man away from God. And until man realized that he has that woman nature that has been imposed upon him by mama, he has that woman nature that has been imposed upon him by mama, he can repent. He can repent by forgiving. He can repent. Then God will change his nature. When man changed, then our family would change, then our community would change. The power is in the man. When man changed, then our family would change, then our community would change. The power is in the man. When man changed, then our family would change, then our community would change. The power is in the man. When man changed, then our family would change, then our community would change. The power is in the man. Man. The power is in the man.